Subscribe to the Nightlife Podcast, now featuring the whole first hour every day, with interesting discussions, panels and topics, as well as the shorter weekly food and travel. abc.net.au/nightlife.
Now, talking about digital ID, the Australia card in the 80s was attempted, 2 years spent on it, and it was dumped. Now, a national digital ID system has started to operate in Australia. It's been in development for 5 years. How much do you know about it? The concept is to have all your ID available in a digital form, your passport, your driver's license, different forms of ID all sitting there on your phone. Convenient, potentially, but what about privacy concerns? Dr. Jay Jong is a researcher at the Cybersecurity Cooperative Research Centre. Jay, good evening.
Evening, Don. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Take us back to the start of this project. What were they trying to do and how far have they got?
Sure thing. The Digital Transformation Agency, which is a federal institute, has been working on this project since the Turnbull government in 2015. So they've spent approximately $200 million building up something called a Trusted Digital Identity Frame, or TDIF. A good analogy of the TDIF is how we have FPOS here in Australia.
Mm.
So FPOS is kind of the framework which takes or facilitates payments.
Right.
So we've just got to differentiate the identity providers from the framework itself. So the DTA has been working on this TDIF for the past 5 years. And recently we've seen two apps emerge in the digital app stores, which was one from the Australian Tax Office called MyGovID and one from Australia Post called Digital ID. So, they've been working on it for a while. It's probably the first time many of your listeners have heard about this, and hence the purpose of tonight is hopefully to shed some light on what's going on.
Yeah, I downloaded the My Digital ID app, mm-hmm. the Australia Post one, and I wasn't sure what the deal was. It took so long to authenticate that I just gave up on it. What's the point of it, and how does it actually work?
Sure. So basically, each of the Australia Post is an identity provider. So basically, their app is to replace the 100-point identification check through an app. So
right.
Something that you can take around, use as a valid form of ID when picking up your post or purchasing liquor. In certain states, which have their own digital ID system. For example, in New South Wales, there's actually a digital driver's license service, and the South Australian government also has a very similar form of digital ID as well. So each of these identity providers have a different purpose or use for it. But basically, in a nutshell, what they're doing is trying to replace the physical ID, such as your driver's license or your passport or other forms of ID.
And, I mean, the concerns about this kind of stuff put the kibosh on the Australia Card project. And when I think about digital privacy and databases and all this sort of stuff, I think of MyGov, where there's my Medicare database, there's my ATO records, there's all these different bits and pieces, my vaccination records.
Yep.
Aren't we sort of already there in terms of the government basically having heaps of information on all of us?
Yes and no. I think one thing that you must know is that in Australia particularly, the identities or actually the physical IDs are actually created at a state level.
Yeah.
So if you really think about it, the birth, deaths, and marriages, your driver's license are all done at a state level.
Yeah.
Effectively, at a federal level, there are some identification replacements. So you have your tax file number or your CR number through Centrelink.
Mm.
But the only difference is that there actually is no mechanism to physically check who you are. There's no actual photo or biometrics data or anything that people can physically check you through through the federal level systems. So this is one way of the Australian government trying to create a link between creating some sort of national ID system through a digital format so you can access all of your services in one go.
Yeah. And I suppose they've got our passports, but that seems very old-fashioned to have a physical document.
The passport's an interesting thing, and I get this question a lot. Yes, the passport is used as a form of ID, but in a legal retrospect, it's actually a travel document.
Yeah, okay, and it doesn't identify you online either, which that I guess is the use of this system.
Coming back to your early question about the Australia card comparison, the Australia card system was in the 80s, which perhaps is a different era because you weren't able to access a lot of the government facilities or services through a digital channel. So, you know, the rationale is that many of the government services, like you mentioned, are able to be accessed through MyGov, but even when you go through MyGov, I don't know if you realize that you have to still click on each of the services separately. Mm. So you have a link to Centrelink, you have a link to Medicare, you have a link to your ATO details, because there isn't a federated system per se where you have one single point of login for each of the systems that can identify you through across the board.
So going forward, if you set up one of these digital IDs, let's say with Australian Post, that will then seamlessly log you into all the government services. Is that the concept?
That is the concept at the moment, yes. It's still in its infancy. So there's only really two identity providers that is currently available. Like I mentioned earlier, there's the one offered by the ATO, which they've, I don't know if they've done intentionally or not, but it's very confusing because the app is called MyGovID. But it can only take care of small to medium tax affairs at the moment.
Oh, so it's not the same as the MyGov website that we all signed up to.
It is not. It is not. That integration is set to happen in 2020, but it hasn't occurred yet. And the other one is the Australia Post, which is the digital ID, which is to replace your 100-point check.
Have you got a view on the balance between privacy and convenience, how it's been struck? Any problems?
That's a really good question. I think the major concerns around digital ID is around the privacy and security, and that's an undeniable fact. Some of it is fact and some of it is fiction. I think, you know, all of the misperceptions caused by, you know, sci-fi novels such as 1984 in a dystopian society or comparisons with the social identity system that's kind of resonating out of China, those are kind of, they amplify the inherent fear that many Australians have on a national digital ID system.
Yeah.
If we were to, and I use this a lot when I talk about the topic, if we're really worried about privacy, I would be more concerned about what I post on Facebook and other social media channels.
That's a fascinating point. And look, what you say about the system in China for the social credit, that's a conversation for another time, but that's a fascinating topic. All right, so that we're making some progress on this. I can totally see the convenience of it, and I kind of feel in terms of privacy, they already have so much, and I'm not too terribly bothered by that personally, but others will have their views. There you go. So thank you for starting that conversation, Jay. We'll follow up in due course as we get closer to launch date, and I really appreciate you talking us through it.
Not a problem. Thanks for your time.
It's been a pleasure. Dr. Jay Jeong there, a researcher at the Cybersecurity Cooperative Research Centre.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.